Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We lowered prices and give you a 5-year price guarantee on talk, text, and data. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Life comes with big money questions. Is it better to max out your 401k or put more in a brokerage account? Does buying a home make financial sense in today's market? Should you use extra cash to pay off debt or invest? NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast has the answers. Their finance journalists break down investing and budgeting strategies to help you build wealth and navigate major financial decisions. Make smarter money moves. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
And so it is, Tyleek Williams. Not a name we spent a lot of time talking about, John. What was your reaction to the pick, and what is it this morning?
Not a name that we had talked about, but certainly a position that we had talked about, whether it was defensive line, edge. It was just the fact that they needed to get some reinforcements on that defensive front, and the fit seems really good because Ali McNeil's not going to be back until sometime around Thanksgiving. With DJ Reader, last year of his deal, it's not just a pick for this year, it's a pick for the future. You pair him with Ali McNeil in the years to come, but he's going to be a guy that is expected to start day one. With Ali McNeil out, he'll be right there next to DJ Reader, and you put him on the same size as Aiden Hutchinson. Okay, it's not the opposite edge, but one of the things that you see when you watch the highlights and you watch the game films, he does a really nice job of setting up his edge rusher for success. And that's the picks, it's the TE stunts, and whether he's lined up as a 4-eye or a 3, he does a really nice job of making it easy for that edge to be successful. In this case, it would be Aiden Hutchinson. But also, he's got some natural instincts of just when he frees up on some of those moments as well, he doesn't have to waste himself. He doesn't have to sacrifice himself. He can bounce off and make plays at the same time. So I do like his natural instincts. He seems to have a good football IQ. I also like the fact that he makes plays down the line of scrimmage. We all love to see tackles for loss. We love to see sacks. But sometimes that 0-yard gain that may be outside the tackle box, those are ones where they're just as important for no gain. You get to second and 10, that's a huge advantage for a defense.
Everything I've seen and read, good player, good person. Film junkie.
Yeah.
High football IQ. As TJ Lang echoed that same point last night on social media. He's a guy at 330 pounds. The first thing I noticed was where he was lining up. Not exclusively over the center. He's a big person that has the athleticism to play outside the guard. So they can move him around that defensive front. John, this was a need. As much as we talk edge, as much as we talk offensive line, this is a short-term need and a long-term need. Short-term, yeah, Ali McNeil's hurt to start the season. Long-term, DJ Reader's on a 1-year deal. And now you compare these two athletic human beings who can rush the passer and stop the run in the middle of your defense. I get the vision. I see the vision. Makes sense to me. This is also, though, the second draft in a row you could argue Brad Holmes is drafted for need. I know he doesn't want to say that, and he would deny it, but this is a need pick, is it not? This was not BPA on many people's...
So it's interesting you say that because Brad has always preached it's best available. And when the draft is completely done and we see what they've done on day two and day three, it'll be interesting to look back because last year, what was the biggest need?
Corner.
They got two. What was the biggest need here?
D-line, probably.
D-line. And you could argue edge, but...
And then yeah, they end up with two.
Right. And so now... You hear from people that aren't Brad Holmes. And I know that Will Birchfield, and again, follow him on Twitter. He does a great job with the website, but he sent out one just a little bit ago that had quotes from the voice of the Lions, Dan Miller, that was from Dan Campbell. That's why we picked him. The guy fits a need.
And I want to be clear, this is not a dig at Brad Holmes.
No, no, no.
It's a good thing they drafted a quality football player who fits a need.
Right. So I think, and we talk about this, Brad Holmes at some point, is there going to be a pick or a draft or a free agency that he goes, it varies from his principles. You can have principles that you live by, but there are situations where it requires you to get outside your comfort zone. It requires you to do something a little bit different. This is a good football player, and maybe it's a little bit different, and he just doesn't have to pigeonhole himself into, I have to pick the best player available. You clearly have some needs, especially if you are in a position to go for a Super Bowl now.
Well, think about it, John. The teams that they're going to play to win the Super Bowl. The Eagles are the reigning champs. They want to run the ball.
Mm-hmm.
You got to stop the run. If the Niners are still going to hang around and be right. a pain, Kyle Shanahan,
CMC.
They're going to run the ball. CMC and whoever the hell is in that backfield, they're yep. going to run the ball when Kyle Shanahan's
in
the
division.
Coach. The Bears are beefing up the offensive line. They're going to want to run the ball more. Both the Packers and the Vikings, those head coaches come from a run the ball, set up the pass philosophy. You got to stop the run first and foremost. And it does seem like there's pass rushing upside here. I saw Ohio State fans saying, don't look at the sack numbers. And I think Brad Holmes even said that. Don't look at the sack numbers. There is upside to get to the quarterback with this player. He is not just a run stopper. He's going to help collapse the pocket and get to the quarterback.
Yeah. The other thing Dan Campbell said to Dan Miller last night was he's got tons of untapped potential.
Like
and
that.
It's he also fits the now and immediate. So there's a lot that he fits for this defense, for this team.
And fit is good. Need at this stage. You don't have a lot of needs.
Well, and you're giving your new defensive coordinator, Calvin Shepard, the ability to take care of the basics. The basics is stop the run. And if you're going in first-time defensive play caller, you better make sure that you're tied down on the basics. And then you could start tweaking things. You could start running blitzes. You could start attacking from different ways and be creative. But you've got to be able to run the ball offensively, stop the run. The next thing is you got to be able to throw the ball effectively, and you also have to be able to get after the opponent's pass rusher. How do you do that? You beef up the defensive line.
Another way of looking at this is they don't want the Aleem McNeil injury to be an excuse that holds this team back this season.
Oh, you don't want the injury hangover?
Right. Because if he's not going till Thanksgiving and who knows how quickly he gets up to speed, you don't want to be three games back in the division. You want to have someone who you can plug in immediately and you use a first round pick on guys who can play immediately. See, when we zoom out on this, what we had talked about for months, give me a player, a big player on one of the lines of scrimmage who makes an impact right away, short term and long term. Check, check, check. So I like the pick. The pushback from some, John, you've seen it.
Oh, sure.
Jihad Campbell was there. Many thought he was a top 10 pick, top 15 pick. And it doesn't matter what draft Nick's had to say on it. You got confirmation when Howie Roseman took him three picks later.
Sure, but he's also a guy that fit a need for the Eagles. And yes, the Lions have the same need, but they've got two defensive tackles that are damn good. And now all of a sudden, Jordan Davis and Jalen Carter. They lost Brandon Graham to retirement. They lost Sweat to free agency. They had to reload at the edge. And what was the conversation about Trey Hendrickson or Myles Garrett? You know, Howie Roseman said, yeah, we're willing to go after all of those individuals. And we heard that Dan Campbell was the one that called Cleveland the most. So he's hyper aware that they need somebody else opposite Aiden Hutchinson. But this is a pick, and where I would shade towards Tyreek Williams for the Lions, this is a 3-4 down guy. I think Jihad Campbell, and maybe in their defense, because they run it a little bit different, maybe he was a 4-down guy because they'll always have a wide guy and he could be that guy. But for the Lions, I don't know that he would be a first or second down run stop guy.
Right, but the thought would be the best player available, regardless of position, was Jihad Campbell.
Yep.
And that's confirmed by the best general manager in football. So I know we trust Brad Holmes, and I like the pick from Brad Holmes. But if someone called in today upset, they could defer to the best general manager in football agrees with them. And I think you could at least make the argument or the case.
If we get past the point that we just don't need to hold Brad to his words in terms of best player available, and they didn't need,
sure,
and get caught in that vortex because it's a vicious one.
Yeah.
And look at the fact that there was a garden that had to be watered that we probably overlooked, and it was the run defense. That we thought offensive line and edge were, and this may be an equal, because without Aleem until Thanksgiving, let's just say, you have a glaring hole potentially in the run D, which was one of the hugest things this franchise has changed about itself since these guys have been here. It was awful the first year they were here. It was awful early in the second. Remember, that's what cost them in Carolina.
But then when that changed, along with a lot of things,
double digit wins started coming.
Yep.
You know, so maybe we just kind of overlooked that. And this guy, they say the one thing he's going to do no matter what is stop the run. They say he's a can't miss with that.
That's non-negotiable. He's a run stopper first and foremost. If they didn't draft him / if they didn't prioritize this position group, they go into the season with DJ Reader, who's a little long in a tooth, on the final year of his deal, and who's next to him?
Well, yeah,
Lopez, who they signed as kind of a depth piece. It's a bigger need than maybe people gave credit for.
Well, and you also look at just, you know, in terms of the Detroit Lions depth chart and what you're going to need. This is, if there's any lessons learned from last year, you can never have enough defensive linemen. You don't think you're going to lose, you know, 7 defensive linemen per season, but you can never have enough O-line. You can never have enough D-line. You can never have enough edge. So it leads us to the question, what do you want them to do on day 2 and day 3?
It's a great question. We can get into it coming up next. Phone calls first, ticket text as well. It's 97.1.
Hey, a personal injury of any sort is, in fact, personal. Injury attorney David Femininio has dedicated his career to securing justice and maximizing recovery from those who have been injured. David is also dedicated to ensuring that you get all the medical care that you need to put your life back together after an injury. You need an attorney who's going to make it personal, and that attorney is David Femininio. So if you or someone you know has been injured, you need to tell him to call David Femininio at 855-65-CRASH, or you can always go to his website, getdavidgetpaid.com. That number again, 855-65-CRASH, or on the web at getdavidgetpaid.com.
This season, let your shoes do the talking. Designer Shoe Warehouse is packed with fresh styles that speak to your whole vibe, without saying a word. From cool sneakers that look good with everything, to easy sandals you'll want to wear on repeat, DSW has you covered. Find a shoe for every you from the brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, New Balance, and more. Head to your DSW store or visit DSW.com today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Every morning brings a fresh new energy. And no matter what the day holds, we come to the Today Show for all of it.
We get the best start to the day because we start it together.
Watch the Today Show weekdays at 7 a.m. on NBC.
Before we get to John Jansen's day 2 targets, we get back to the phones. Your reaction, Tyleek Williams, the pick for the Lions at 28. Not a name we spent a lot of time talking about, but a position that we highlighted. Maybe a sneaky need to some. Let's get to Matt and Fenton. Matt, you're on 97.1.
Hey, good morning. So for the Pistons, I think the problem was defense and not all, but some bad shots. They took some bad shots, I thought. For the Lions, I love the pick. You know, we can always use more defense, help us get that push to the Super Bowl. And then, Jansen, I'm disappointed you didn't bring Chick-fil-A nuggets for everyone, man. I was hanging out with you guys last night. I loved it. When the Giants – oh, sorry, go ahead.
I was going to say, I was the only one in my house, and I would have been more than happy to share.
When the Giants made their second pick to take Jackson Dart, I kind of turned into Mike Valenti. I was screaming at my TV, like, F you, F you. I'm like, geez, that's such a bad pick.
It's going to be interesting. I mean, Russell Wilson's going to be their starter next year, and it's going to take him a minimum of a year to get up to speed for the NFL, and probably two. I mean, he was a half-the-field read type of guy. He's got the physical skills. I just don't know if he can make that jump or how quickly he can make that jump to being an NFL quarterback in regards to reading a defense, looking from sideline to sideline, and even knowing it pre-snap before he has to deliver a ball downfield.
I get the logic in trading up at the end of the first to get the fifth-year option for a quarterback you believe in. I don't get believing in Jackson Dart. Watch him play in any of the big games they played last year. He was underwhelming. Maybe you're going to coach him up. There's a lot of coaching, John, to your point, that needs to take place there because of the offense he played in and the way that they run things. I saw Dart talking to Gruden, and their breakdown, their pre-snap cadence was this. And then they said, well, you got a dummy count? He goes, yeah, it's this. That's the sophistication of the offense at Ole Miss is there's a lot that goes into playing quarterback beyond the physical traits. And even Mel Kiper questioned, are you drafting this quarterback for the next regime? Are you really in sync? I know Dable says, I see some Josh Allen in him. Well, another coach may be figuring that out.
Well, regardless of who they drafted this year, a new coach may be figuring it out next year. I mean, he is on it's a very short leash.
Kiper was so incredulous over the fact that Dart was selected over Shedeur Sanders. I wondered if like it was Mel Kiper hyphen Sanders, if he was like a member of the family.
I think I mentioned it yesterday. I didn't think there was a first round quarterback in this draft. You put all of these guys in last year's draft and they're probably taken after, which is why Cam Ward came back for another. He knew what was at stake of going in last year's draft, competing with all six of those guys for to be picked versus maybe coming in and being the best of the bunch, knowing someone's going to take a shot on a quarterback in the first round.
Where does Shedeur go? And I know that Browns have two of the first five picks, but if they wanted him, you could have made the case to go up and get the fifth-year option. They didn't. So now is it the Saints at 40? Is it the Cowboys at like 40, 44,
I think it is? Here's the other thing, too, is like they're not dealing with, if they called the Eagles, if they called the Chiefs, you're not talking with general managers that are going to be taken advantage of. They knew the value they had in that pick 31, 32, that fifth-year option, and they probably said, we know who we want. Obviously, the Eagles, they took Jahad Campbell, a guy that we wanted, and they probably said, okay, if you want that fifth-year option for Shedeur, it's going to cost you.
Can we jump back to this hyphenation thing quick? So if you have man crush or you gush over somebody, the new bits to hyphenate their name with your name?
No,
Kiper. So you like Kiper Sanders?
I think he was just so over the top about it. There's one thing where, boy, I don't know why this guy's falling, but then they start comparing him to Brett Favre. Well, Favre wasn't the highest quarterback in his class, and we're doing Hall of Fame comparisons. Mel, maybe you were wrong. Maybe the other 32 teams. It was a bit much, John.
Yeah,
it was
so
a bit much.
Referring to you as Costa Chapman
or Costa
Bregman.
Multiple hyphens.
No, I think right now it's more Costa Maeda.
Thanks, Kenna Maeda. John, who are your day two targets for the Lions?
So I got a couple for you. At the guard position, the guy that we saw mock to him in the second round, actually, Marcus Imbeau out of Purdue. Another guard, Jackson Slater. Now, a lot of people probably don't know him. He's a guy from Sacramento State. Had a really good, he played left guard. Played a couple of games at left tackle, but is as solid as they come, would be a very solid pick. And he may be a guy that, because there's so many edge, there's still defensive tackles, there's other guys that are going to be taken in front of him that may fall into the third round. And if you want him, you could trade up in the third to get him. I don't think he lasts till 102. A couple other guys that I think would be helpful. Nick Scowerton, probably off the board by that time. Jordan Birch from Oregon. But I think a guy that's on the board late in the second round, Josiah Stewart from Michigan. A guy that's not going to come in and be a three-down guy. He's a pass rush specialist. You pair that with re-signing Za'Darius Smith, who's probably first and second down, then you bring in, or you use them in mix and match in a lot of different ways. I think it would be intriguing to see him as a guy that coming off the edge could get to the quarterback.
Yeah, the disclaimer is you still got to take good football players, but in a perfect world, they end day two with a guard and an edge player. And the longer they wait on that edge player, the more I want Za'Darius Smith back to pair up with him because he might not be a finished product if they're taking an edge at 102, for example. But guard, edge, pair him up, keep getting big people, win the trench battle, keep stocking it up.
Yeah.
248-539-9797. Let's get to Heather with the news.
Listen to this story. A poker player from Texas won nearly $1 million in Vegas with a really extremely rare hand. So this guy, he achieved an incredibly rare 7-card straight flush. And he won $897,000. Now, the probability of hitting a natural 7-card straight flush is 1 in 10 million.
Wow.
Pretty incredible. He had a 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10 jack in hearts.
So I don't know. I don't play poker. I'm not really familiar with. Obviously, that one is rare. And I do know what it means. How rare? Does it say how rare it is? Like how?
One in 10 million.
Oh, okay. I was thinking about the draft. Stop talking.
you're
I'm pulling a Colin.
Mine somewhere else. Yeah. Shh. I'm trying to focus. Shh. Anyway, pretty cool story, right?
Yeah, of course.
A young man attending art school in Detroit was swept away into the ocean while vacationing with friends in Cancun. His body was recovered 3 days later. It's a sad story. 20-year-old Alejandro Gonzalez was swept away in the current after helping rescue a friend who had been caught in a wave. So he was successful in helping his friend, right? Mm-hmm. But then he got pulled under by the current himself. His mother says that's just the kind of guy he was, always putting others before himself. Now his family is hoping to, you know, establish the funds to get him home where they can then have a proper funeral for him. Very sad story. Yeah. Also said, you might have seen this because I saw videos of this everywhere. Elijah Arenas, a 5-star high school basketball recruit, also the son of NBA All-Star Gilbert Arenas, is in a coma following a serious car crash early Thursday morning. And this is the video I saw. I didn't actually see the entire crash, but I saw the aftermath of it. Police say his Cybertruck hit a tree, hit a fire hydrant, became engulfed in flames. Oh. And this is what you could see. It happened right near his home. This was in San Fernando Valley. And there's good Samaritans who try to help pull him out. Then you see him on the ground, like lying, because the fire hydrant, there was water everywhere. It sounds like he was put into a medically induced coma as part of the protocol for smoke inhalation, but very, very scary for sure.
Do we have any idea what caused the crash?
Not that I know of yet. I mean, somebody might know now, but it's very, I mean, it was a single car crash. He was the only person in the vehicle right near his home. Very, very sad.
I mean, first and foremost, you're wishing him a speedy recovery.
Yeah, I'm
seeing what crash was at 4:55 in the morning. I don't know if another car or if he swerved or what.
And you can see there was somebody had like a Ring doorbell, and you can't see exactly because there was a big fence, but you can see the crash, see the water, see the flames of this car.
Scary.
I mean, thankfully that somebody was there. To make sure he got out safely. Okay, so there's a lot of differences between boomers and Gen Zers, right? Boomers right now range in age from like 61 to 79 years old. Gen Z is 13 to 28. Okay, so a huge range in age, which then means there's a lot of differences altogether. And there's a website that just put together a list of common skills that boomers are shocked that Gen Zers don't know.
Oh, yes, please.
This will be good.
How to address a piece of mail, because they're not sending letters, like where to put the return
put the
address and the address. Yet they don't know how to do that. Unclog a toilet using a plunger.
Really?
Well,
it's pretty self-explanatory.
Which end do I put in there?
They don't know how to tell time with a clock.
Clock, yeah. Which one's the minute hand and which one's the hour hand?
What is going on in preschool these days?
How to count correct change? How to type on an actual keyboard?
They can't count correct change. They can't use the decimal system.
They don't use money.
There's no cash for them.
Yes. That's not how they're paying for things. They don't know basic handyman skills, which is what we've talked about before.
Right,
like they can't hang a picture right or change a light bulb. They don't know how to write a check, use a manual can opener, write in cursive. They're probably not even learning that anymore. Or read Roman numerals.
Well, neither can Stoney. I mean, that one spans generations.
Yeah, there's a couple on here that I think do, like how to drive a stick shift.
Oh, yeah, I don't know how to drive a stick shift.
You know what? I was looking. You can't even get a truck with a stick shift anymore.
Yeah.
It's so disappointing.
You have to custom order it.
Yeah. 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 It's disappointing.
I can park one, meaning I can get in and drive and then put it in park, but I don't think I could drive one on the road. I learned how to park one when I did valet.
Oh,
like I know how to get it going, but I have never driven a stick shift on the road.
I love driving. I love being an active participant in driving, and driving a stick is, I just think it's fun.
Yeah. Finally, there's a mail carrier in Florida who was arrested earlier this month for drunk driving while on duty. So witnesses called police to say their mail truck was swerving all over, going the wrong way on a road. The driver was throwing plastic cups out of the vehicle. Crazy. So obviously pulled over, failed the field sobriety test. And she told the officer that, you know what? I have been drinking. I stopped at a house party on my route, had a couple shots of vodka, and then kept going.
No.
Huh. So, I mean, mail is normally delivered during daylight hours. 1 o'clock. First of all, where's the house party at 1 o'clock? That sounds kind of awesome.
And did she know the people, or was it just like, hey?
Hey, mail lady, come on in.
Have a shot. And then she went back to delivering mail. So,
would you offer shots to the mail carrier?
Oh, no, not while they're on duty.
No, it's kind of an odd choice.
Well, I mean, if you're having a good time.
Yeah.
And all of a sudden somebody walks up. Yeah, you're like, hey, shot for you.
Heather with the news. All right, coming up next, AJ Hinch. He was at the Pistons game last night, and he's got takes, opinions, keys to the series, and of course, we'll talk about his baseball team. It's 97.1.